This week on the Hugh Jackson Show, we talk turkey with the Browns head coach and go to the coach's tape to see what makes Terrell Pryor so effective in one-on-one situations. Plus, big play Gare finally gets into the end zone against the Steelers.
I want to have the best tight end room. It's all about the group.
And rookie corner Breann Body Calhoun tells us why he's thankful to help others in Delaware and much more. Good evening, happy Thanksgiving, and welcome to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan's girl alongside the head coach here at Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, brought to you by Elk and Elk. And Coach, let's start. It is Thanksgiving. Any Jackson family traditions?
We eat a lot of turkey is what we try to do, and we're just very thankful for the opportunity to see another Thanksgiving day. But at the same time, it's during football season, so the only thing really on my mind is football.
Thanksgiving, three football games. Is that a day, I know you guys have practice, but is that a day afterwards you like to get away from football and be with your family? Or do football coaches watch football on Thanksgiving like the rest of us?
I try to follow the lead of my family, and whatever they want to do, I'll do. But I do like to occasionally turn the TV on and see who's playing and see what's going on and know what's happening in the league.
Is it hard to just be a fan and just watch the game, or are you always thinking with your coach hat on, you know, breaking everything down?
It's hard to be a fan. You know, you always are looking at different situations that happen when you're watching the TV and how would you do this and how would you do that. So it's another opportunity to grow.
All right, speaking of football, let's go back to last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. What did you take away from that game?
Well, again, it showed us another division opponent, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and exactly what we need to get to. You know, we're not there yet. I was very proud of our guys for fighting and being in the game and having an opportunity. Obviously, we came up short, but we're truly understanding what our division is. I've known, but I think our players know too, but it's always good to see another opponent and know where we need to be to try to win this division.
Defensively, there was a lot of bend, but don't break. Held them to a couple of field goals after long drives, and then in the end, you needed to get three and outs. You got two of them consecutively. Mm-hmm. Does that give you some encouragement about this defense?
Oh, no, it does. They rose up. You know, again, the performance from week to week, I can't say enough about how hard our guys go after it. You know, it hasn't come up right for us, but I think our guys are trying to improve in each unit, and sometimes, you know, things work out good, sometimes they don't, but I think we're going to keep working at it, and that's what I'm most proud of.
Offensively, what do you need to change from that game against the Steelers to have success this Sunday?
We got to get better. You know, you have to protect the quarterback. I think first and foremost, we can't have our quarterback get hit like he did. I think we got to continue to make more plays. We got to be able to run the ball better. I didn't think we did anything offensively that kind of characterizes who we are. So we kind of got to go back to the drawing board and get better and keep working at it and go out against New York and play better.
For the fans, they see it and they see the numbers, eight sacks, and the quarterback's getting beaten up and they get mad at the offensive line. But there can be a number of factors. Do you think some of it's a quarterback maybe holding onto the ball too long? What do you think kind of contributed to that kind of avalanche?
You know, it's a combination of things, but it's a unit issue. It's not just one group. Everybody has a hand when things don't go right and when things break down. You know, it could be several different factors. And so, you know, we've looked at it very closely. We understand where our issues are, and we look to improve them this week.
All right, now you talked about a fight and a lot of fight in this team, and one of the guys who certainly has done that for you all year is wide receiver Terrell Pryor, and he had a big catch early, a big catch on a fourth down. Let's go take a look at that fourth down catch there and break the film down.
You got it.
All right, Coach, here we are, fourth and nine. Now, do you have in your bag of tricks like specific fourth down plays, or do you treat it just like a third down?
We have specific plays, but this was a really third down play that I felt really good about because of the matchup we had with Terrell on their corner and our tight ends on their linebackers and safeties. So I thought it was going to be a good all-around play for us.
When you call this play, are you hoping to see that single high safety?
Absolutely. Okay. I was praying for it.
So once you got that, then you know, all right, it's a go. So roll it through here. For Cody, is it pretty much, all right, get the ball, you're going to TP?
You got a chance to throw it to TP. He's got to feel good about it. He's got to know, again, it's fourth down. This guy's got to make an uncommon play for him, and that's what Terrell was able to do. We have Seth DeVow inside here running an out route and Gary running underneath, and we got a chance for Seth as well. But he threw it to Terrell, and Terrell made a heck of a play.
Is there something about that in this play, you know, because it looked like if you watch it in a slow developing, maybe Seth is open, but is it if you sense pressure, just throw it up there and give him a chance to make a play?
Well, it's like anything. This is like backyard football a little bit. It's like me to you. Okay, it's me and you, one-on-one. I got to make a play for you. We got to beat the defender. I got to give you a chance to catch it. And normally those things work out for us.
Is it tempting when you have a guy like Terrell to just say, all right, we're just going to throw it up to him all the time?
Absolutely, if he'll go make those plays.
Absolutely, and he did there for you with the first down. When you watch this, it seems like they looked like they were going to maybe bring Harrison, but then ended up not, and Cody throws it out there to him. When he comes off to the side here, what does that tell the line? And is that, talk about communication. Joe Thomas talked about that a lot this
Absolutely.
Week.
Well, here, you know, we're going to block the four big rushers that are known.
Okay.
And obviously it's 94. 56, we spot him. We know he's a down lineman. We have the nose guard. And then obviously we have 78 back over here, 79. And then Harrison. So it's a five down look for our lineman. So Crow has to block the defensive back that's back there. And he scans all the way back to his right to see what's coming. So the communication here was great. But it is, it's orchestrated chaos, honestly, in protection. And people got to understand that. And it can get rough, and the communication can be tough sometimes. As you see right here with Cam, and there's Crow helping out. I mean, those things are going to happen from time to time.
Throws out, and the ball gets out there, and you see here Terrell Pryor go up. High point the ball. Is that something that you emphasize to your receivers?
Absolutely. You got to go catch the ball at its highest point. Got to beat the defender to the ball.
All right, and we'll be back with more High Point here on the Hugh Jackson Show.
Coming up on the Hugh Jackson Show, Pro Bowl tight end Gary Barnidge tells us how he has embraced the leadership role on this young team.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan Zgur alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. And coach, we're going to go take a look at Gary Barnidge's touchdown catch, his first of the year. What happened on that play?
Well, he did a great job of running what we call a post pattern. He had a post pattern. Terrell Pryor had a post pattern. So the quarterback had the option to pick one or the other based on where the safety was. And Gary was there. And I thought Josh did a great job of sticking the ball in there. And obviously I'm disappointed it's Gary's first touchdown
sure.
this season, because this is a guy that knows how to get the ball in the end zone. But sometimes that's the way it goes. But he made a great play on that play.
He did. And let's hear what he had to say about it as he joins Matt Wilhelm in our PNC Bank Play Breakdown. Hey, it's Matt Wilhelm here with Pro Bowl tight end Gary Barnidge. And it took 11 weeks, but you finally got on board with that first touchdown. What did it feel like to get back in the end zone?
Oh, it was great. It was great. It was a perfect throw. And it was just a good route. We said this play was going to happen in practice, and it actually happened the same as that way we thought it was going to happen.
So when you dive into the play, it's third and nine from the 14-yard line. You guys are in a bunch set to the right, and you're the only receiver on the backside attached to tight end. James Harrison was out there. You know, what did you see, and when did you know that the ball was going to come your way?
So I saw it was a one high, and I saw the corner outside. And a whole week, we were like, well, if you get this look, it's probably going to go to you. You're probably going to. And then when we did in practice, it was a bang bang. So I caught, and then the defender was right there. I said, and I told the quarterback, I said, hey, I'll catch that. I'll take the hit for the touchdown. And that's what happened. The guy hit me, scored a touchdown. It was the exact way we drew it up.
Third down. Here comes an all-out blitz, and McCollin throws, and Barnidge caught it. Touchdown! His first touchdown of the year, and the Browns are back in it.
And how about just Hugh Jackson as a whole, his entire offense? It's fun to watch with some of the shifts and motions, and it looks like he's got at least one formation a game against that opponent that he's going to line up and test them to see if they line up right. But just to allow playmakers like yourself, like Isaiah Crowell, to make those plays in those spots.
It's huge because it gives so much more for defense in future games they have to study for and prepare for, which makes they might water down their defense because of it. And that makes it fun for us because you never know what we're going to do and who's going to get the ball and then take a tough on the defense.
So I would have never imagined that you, after the year that you had last year, were the last tight end in your room to get a touchdown. Connor Hamlet has one. Randall Topher doesn't have one yet, I'm sorry. But Seth DeValve does last week. What's it been like just to be the mentor in that room with a bunch of young guys who are probably chomping at the bit to get playing time?
Oh, it's great. I have no problem with it, and I'm all happy for him. That's the thing. When Connor scored his, I tried to celebrate with him. He was so excited. He ran off the field. Same with Seth, because it was the first one. It was awesome for him, and I'm happy for him. I tell them since day one, I tell them I want to have the best tight end room. I don't care about a position, one player, one person. It's all about the group. I want to have the best tight end group in the NFL, and I think that's what we're striving towards.
And what changes? There's been a lot of turnover at quarterback because of different injuries in game, in week. What changes within this offense when there's a different guy at the helm at quarterback?
Honestly, not much changes because everybody works in practice. Everybody gets the same thing, same looks, and same defenses, and we get to work together and everybody. So it's not like one person only takes all the reps and then this person just watches. So everybody's working with everybody. So I think we don't really have a drop-off when one quarterback comes in after an injury or something, which is just unfortunate.
Sure, and I'm sure nobody would have thought you guys would be 0-11, but you've got five opportunities to go. What's the mentality of this football team right now as you have the New York Jets on the cusp this coming Sunday?
It just improved. just improve. You got to improve each week and just keep going. Like, you can't let anything bring you down. It's adversity. You got to overcome adversity, and we're just going to keep working like we do.
Sure. Well, Gary, congrats on the touchdown, and good luck against the New York Giants.
Thank you. Okay.
Coach, last year Tyler Eifert had 13 touchdowns for you down in Cincinnati. Last week it was Seth DeVal. This week it was Gary Barnidge. Over the final 5 weeks, is that something we're going to see more of the tight ends in the red zone?
Well, we're trying to work that in that direction. I think our quarterbacks have done a good job of keeping everybody involved. You know, we really don't care how we score them or who scores them. We just need to score more. And so we love to get the tight end more involved if we can. But at the same time, Gary's reputation has kind of hurt him a little bit. Sure. Teams have tried to take him away.
That's right, and hopefully we'll find another Gary Barnidge touchdown this Sunday, and we'll be back with more of the Hugh Jackson Show right after this.
Next on the Hugh Jackson Show, rookie cornerback Brian Boddy Calhoun talks about going from being undrafted to starting in the NFL.
And I was just like, get me on this flight to Cleveland so I can get ready to play for the Browns.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan Zgur alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. And coach, this year in many ways is about developing. It's about finding these young guys that can be big pieces of this team going forward. And Brian Boddy Calhoun, an undrafted free agent, come in, 2 interceptions, numerous pass breakups. How has he come along for you?
He's done great. You know, he's had some real good moments. He's had some moments where he's needed to grow and get better. And I think that's part of this process. You know, I think our players have been out there playing and playing a lot of football. And they've had opportunities to make plays, and they had times where things didn't go as well, and they have to learn to dust themselves off and come back out there and do it again. And he's one of those young guys that I think has done a good job of doing that.
And he caught up with our Dustin Fox in the Universal Windows Player Spotlight. Dustin Fox here with Brian Boddy Calhoun, rookie cornerback. Brian, I want to talk a little bit about your path to the NFL because your story is amazing. I mean, you're out of Delaware, and you know, you're excited to get out of Delaware.
Very excited, but I'm more excited to go back and help other people get out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but making it out, it was extremely tough, but I think that I had some great people in my corner that really helped me get to where I'm at today.
What was your childhood like?
It was rough. I was raised by my grandmother, my mother, and my stepfather. I'm the oldest of 5 kids. All of my siblings are half siblings. And just my environment, there was a lot of bad things around me, you know, drugs, violence, guns, and things of that nature. So it was really easy to get caught up in that kind of lifestyle. But I would say sports is what really, really brought me out of that.
Tell me about your last name, because you hyphenated it when you were in college.
Mm-hmm.
Boddy Calhoun.
Yep, so my whole life my name was Brian Boddy. That's my mother's name. My father passed away when I was 7 years old, and throughout my life I always wanted to figure out a way to honor him. And it wasn't until I got up to Minnesota that I was like, okay, I'm in Minnesota, Division I platform, national televised game every week. So I was like, this is the time where the world can see my name. And in the May of 2012, I said, okay, I'm going to hyphenate my last name. I'm going to add Calhoun to the back of my last name.
Touchdown! Brian Boddy Calhoun!
Well, you didn't go to Minnesota to start. You ended up at Coffeyville.
That's right. I was so excited to go down there. I thought it was going to be like a Minnesota atmosphere. And I got down there, fell asleep. And when I woke up an hour later, it looked like I was in the same exact place. Yeah. And I remember getting down there, and there was a McDonald's, a KFC, and the dorms. And that was it. And I was like, this is college for now. I got to get out of here some kind of way.
And so how'd you get to Minnesota?
So my mentor, Coach Bo, I told him, you know, I just wanted to be in college. I just wanted to go to a Division I school. I just wanted to get a scholarship.
Sure.
I told him, the first school that offers me, that's where I'm going. And a guy by the name of Jerry Kill called me up.
Yeah.
And he offered me. He offered me a full scholarship. I said, okay, Coach, I'll get back to you tomorrow. And I called him back in an hour. And I said, I'm coming to Minnesota.
Gonna be a gopher. So you had a brilliant career there. You thought everything was kind of lining up for you to be drafted, to go on to pursue that dream. The draft goes, the phone doesn't ring, you go undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Painful. Painful, but it was a whole lot easier. It was an easier pill to swallow when I knew that I did everything in my power to get drafted, you know. But when I didn't, I just knew that it was part of God's will, and I just had to follow that.
So you end up going undrafted to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
All the cuts go, and you're right at the final cut. You don't make it. But then, all of a sudden, there's new life because the Cleveland Browns claim you on waivers.
That's right.
Active roster.
That's right. Carmen calls me up, and he says, have you heard from Jacksonville about, like, practice squad or stuff? I say,
yeah.
I said, yeah, they talked about it, but, you know, I haven't really made a decision on where I'm going to go for practice squad. He said, oh, so you haven't heard the news. I said, what news? And he said, the Cleveland Browns just claimed you off waivers, and I started screaming. And I was just like, get me on this flight to Cleveland so I can get ready to play for the Browns. And it was just an amazing feeling.
Dream come true?
Dream come true.
Brian Body Calhoun, good luck against the Giants this week, my man.
Thank you, man. Can't wait.
He's looking, got hit as he threw, and it's picked off. Brian Body Calhoun, 10-5 to the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Brian Body Calhoun.
Coach Brian Body Calhoun is a young guy, good energy, made some plays as you talked about. What does he have to show you over the final five games for you to feel real good about him being a part of this team 2017 and beyond?
I think just being really consistent. I think he's shown his ability to make plays. He's shown the ability to be part of our defense and a huge part of our defense. I think over the next 5 weeks, what he needs to do is just keep growing in our system. Learn our defense, go attack it like he has all year, and go make plays.
All right, and we'll attack it with the game preview when the Hugh Jackson Show returns.
Coming up on the Hugh Jackson Show, Coach breaks down the New York Giants, who enter on a 5-game winning streak, and gives his keys to success for the Browns on Sunday.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan Zagura, Coach Jackson. Time now for the Northeast Ohio BMW Center's game preview. And Coach, here come the New York Giants, 7-3, a 5-game winning streak. What are they doing well right now?
They're playing good team football. You know, they're playing well on offense. The quarterback's done a great job, Odell Beckham. They're running the ball in spots. You know, not great. I'm not sure, as I'm sure they like to, but they're running the ball. And then on defense, they've been very optimistic. They're making plays. They're getting turnovers. They have two really good defensive ends that are good players. Their secondary is a good secondary. They got a young player in Collins who's back there playing extremely well. So, again, it's a challenge every week.
It seems like every week we're facing a Super Bowl quarterback or one of those dominant receivers, whether it was A.J. Green or Dez or Antonio Brown. Well, now it's both Eli Manning, Super Bowl quarterback, Odell Beckham Jr. What makes that tandem so good?
Because I think they've done a great job of being in sync together. I think Eli understands the things that Odell does extremely well, and I think Odell knows where Eli wants to throw the ball, and that's to him. So he goes out and makes those plays for him. And so we got to do a great job of trying to take both of those guys out of this game.
On the other side of the ball, when the Browns have it, it's going to be Josh McCown at quarterback this week. Now, when he's had a full week of preparation, he's come out and given you a 20-point half each of the first two times he went out there. What do you need to see from him against the Giants?
Finish. I want him to play four quarters as well as he's ever played here for us, because that's what we need him to have a chance to win, and I think he'll do that.
You talked about Landon Collins, their safety, 5 interceptions in the last 4 games. And Josh, yes, he gives you big plays, but he's also turned the ball over a little bit this year. How do you balance that from a game plan standpoint? Say, look, you need to take these shots, but we have to take care of the football.
Well, you said it. The most important thing is taking care of the ball. That's what gives us a chance to win. We've seen where we haven't taken care of the ball, it's hurt us. You know, so I think he understands we got to be really smart with the ball, but we also have to score points. I mean, this is a team that you're going to probably have to score more points and scoring touchdowns than they do to have a chance to win.
And they can get after the quarterback as well. How do you deal with these guys up front?
You got to block them. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. They're a very good defensive football team. Coach Spagnuolo does a great job. He's going to create mixed matches where he can, and we got to do a great job of IDing those situations and picking those guys up.
Is this a game where you want to make them one-dimensional in the sense that if you can take away Rashad Jennings, who's played pretty well the last couple of weeks, and put it on Eli, does that help you defensively say, all right, let's just go get after him because you can get him doing some of this with the shoulders and maybe you can get some interceptions?
Well, I think any time you can make any team one-dimensional, you know, and take them away from their strength, you have a chance. You know, that's exactly what teams try to do to us as well. So, you know, they're going to fight to be a balanced team. We're going to fight to be a balanced team. But I think in the end, the team that takes care of the ball is going to win this game.
And hopefully it is the Cleveland Browns. That'll be something we can all be thankful for, Coach.
Absolutely.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and good luck on Sunday.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for being with us here. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a healthy, safe holiday. And we'll see you at First Energy Stadium on Sunday. And let's go, Browns.